Good morning. This is Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us today. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. My family and I were up in Oakland picking apples up there on one of the apple farms. What a fun time. You know, spending my whole life in Southern California, never done that before. What a beautiful day for it. Hope you had something fun you were able to do over the weekend. One thing I want to make sure to do is to let you know how much we appreciate you here at KPCC. Our week and a half long fall member drive was very successful. Thanks to your generous support, 9,000 members contributed. That's just about 1,000 people a day on average. 5,000 new members, never been members of KPCC before, joined with us. So we thank you so much. If you're new to the family, we hope it's a whole different listening experience, that you really feel that higher degree of connection with KPCC. And we thank you again for your generous support. Coming up later on Air Talk, Apple's new mobile payment system is launching today. Will it revolutionize how we pay for things, or will we still be using plastic for years to come? Also, the continuing drop in oil and gasoline prices. Is this strategic and designed to inflict economic damage on Russia and Iran? We'll talk about that coming up later. But first, over the weekend, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to stop Texas's voter ID law from going into effect for the midterm elections. Liberals are furious, including some members of the high court. Conservative legislatures have adopted the laws in several states. Will the laws have much effect on voting in 2 weeks? Joining me from the Heritage Foundation's Election Law Reform Initiative, Senior Legal Fellow Hans von Spakovsky. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Larry. I went apple picking this weekend, too.
Did you? Great. It's a lot of fun. Well, you give us first the specifics of the Texas law. What are voters there going to have to show at the polls?
Sure. They're going to have to show a Texas driver's license or an election ID card that's also issued by the state for anybody who doesn't have a driver's license, a personal ID card, a concealed handgun license, a U.S. military ID, or a U.S. passport.
Now, the court had turned down an earlier case, I think it was in Wisconsin, for voter ID. Why was it in the Texas case, you think, that the justices didn't take this up?
Actually, if you look at all of the cases where the court has ruled, the key factor in all of them has been trying to avoid making a change in the election rules just before the election. In Wisconsin, the voter ID law actually wasn't in place, and the state had already sent out absentee ballots without notifying folks that they would have to comply with the ID requirement, which applies to both in-person and absentee ballots. In Texas, the ID law has now been in place actually for quite some time. In fact, it was in place for the state elections they had last year. So if suddenly a court says it's not going to be in place, you're changing the rules only, 2 weeks before the election.
And my understanding of the Texas ID law is it doesn't apply for vote-by-mail voters, that they don't have to prove their identification. Is that your understanding as well?
It is, unlike Wisconsin, where it applies to both. And actually, I think that's a change Texas in the future ought to make, which is to extend it to absentee ballots.
We're talking with the Heritage Foundation's Han von Spakovsky, also with us from New York University's Brennan Center, the deputy director of the democracy program at Brennan, and an attorney for plaintiffs in this case, including the Texas NAACP, Myrna Perez. Thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
So your concerns about this, how big an impact do you think this is going to have in Texans being able to vote in 2 weeks?
Well, I want to be very clear to the listeners that no point did anybody undermine what it was that the court who actually heard the case found. And she credited testimony from a number of experts that expected that about 600,000 registered voters were not going to have the kind of identification that was required by this law. Moreover, about 1.2 million Texans don't have the kind of ID that's required by this law. And so my concern is that early voting is starting today, and you still have scores of Texans without the kind of ID that's required. And importantly, there has been very little done to try and get the IDs in the hands of people who don't have them. Mr. Von Sikowski mentioned the fact that there is a new form of ID from Texas. It's called an election identification certificate. But fewer than 279 of these had been issued up until June of this year. And right before the court's ruling, the state had been withdrawing some of the places and some of the units where one could get a free ID. And I think one thing that is going to be really important right now is that there be a lot of attention be put on Texas, and that Texas election officials spend a great deal of effort, more effort than they have in the past, making sure that ID is getting in the hands of people that don't have them.
What do you think is the barrier? I went online and I saw that there are more than 200 of these Texas public safety offices, and then they set up other sort of annexes to that, 60 some places around the state,
right,
for people to get them.
That only 279 free certificates had been issued by them.
Yeah. So what do you make of
that? The court found that it was because the public education was inadequate. It was because in many of those people, to get the so-called free ID, you're still going to have to provide identity like a birth certificate, and a birth certificate is not free. There were some instances in which police presence was requested, and I think given what has happened in the country over the last few months, expecting people to voluntarily go to law enforcement to get this identification just to vote is going to not lend itself to a lot of people taking advantage of that.
We're talking.
So there's not enough.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I didn't
I
mean to cut
say, there's
you.
Not enough, yeah, there's not enough education. The law wasn't wasn't designed in such a way such that we could actually get IDs in the hands of the folks that need them. And there is not going to be the kind of resources that have been devoted to make sure the public understands exactly what's required of them. I mean, one of the things that Mr. Von Sikowski noted was that this was done in the most recent statewide elections, but the old voter ID system, because Texas did have a voter ID system, was used in November of 2012. So there are more voters who participated and more election workers who participated in the November 2012 election under the old ID system than in all of the statewide elections that have happened under the new photo ID system.
We're talking with NYU's Brennan Center Deputy Director of the Democracy Program, Myrna Perez. She is a lawyer for the plaintiffs in the case involving Texas's voter ID law, which is said to generally be the most rigorous, or if you're coming from the other side on this, restrictive voter ID law in the country. I'd like to hear from you as an AirTalk listener. Do you think that voter ID laws like the Texas law protect the voting process, that they are a positive things for states to enact? Do you think that in the case of Texas it goes too far, that given how few of these voter identification certificates have been issued, that the state is not doing an adequate job of making them available to people? And do you think having to prove your legal voting status at a polling place is just wrong in the first place, and that Americans shouldn't have to do that? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Mr. Von Spakovsky, Myrna Perez makes the point about, even though this has been in effect, you know, very few people have voted. These were tiny elections before something as big as the midterm. So, you know, saying that this is in effect and would be difficult to change isn't really the case here. Your response to that?
Well, I don't think that's correct. And the whole problem, the whole assumption that all these conclusions are based on is this idea that there are huge numbers of people who don't have ID in Texas. That is exactly the same claim that was made by the NAACP 8 years ago when they filed a lawsuit against the state of Georgia over its voter ID law, which isn't that much different from the Texas law. And those numbers turned out to be a gross exaggeration. And the fact that there haven't been many IDs issued is because the vast majority of people already have an ID. Look, Georgia spent a huge amount of money and time sending out brochures to voters, running public service ads, et cetera. And they kept track of how many people then came in to get an ID because they didn't already have one. And it was a tiny number, only a couple of hundred at first, then every year. In comparison to the 6 million registered voters they have, on average, it's been about 0.05%. This idea that there are huge numbers of people without ID in our society today where you need one to cash a check, open a bank account, get a prescription filled, buy a beer, is just not the case.
Well, there have to be ways of getting these numbers that people could agree on. If you were to go back and survey people who voted in previous elections and find out, well, how many of those people could have presented ID or couldn't, I mean, that would give you a pretty good sense of how many people have had access to the polling places but without ID to be able to show it, right?
Well, yeah, but in fact, the U.S. Census Bureau does a survey after every election where they go and they survey folks who did not vote, and they ask them, well, why didn't you vote? The number of people who say they didn't vote because of some kind of procedural issue, whether it's a voter ID or getting a problem registering, is a tiny percentage. The vast majority of people say they didn't vote. Why? Because they weren't interested in politics. They weren't interested in the candidates. They don't think it's going to make a difference in their lives who gets elected. This idea that all these people don't vote because of requirements like that have been disproven in the states who have now had ID laws in place for many years, like Georgia and Indiana.
Ms. Perez, your response to that.
Yeah, I mean, so the vast majority of Americans do have the identification, and there's little dispute about that. The big dispute is, what are we going to do about the percentage of the population that doesn't? And the people that were in the Texas case are very, very real people. Ms. Sammy Bates was a longtime voter who had voted in prior elections and would still be voting and would have cast a ballot that had counted in the last election, except for the fact that she did not possess the kind of identification that was required. And in Georgia, they ended up issuing more than 2,000 of those free identification cards at a state that is much smaller than Texas. The dispute is not over, you know, whether or not the number is 6%, whether the number is 8%, or whether the number is 12%. It's, what are we going to do as a democracy for the people in our country that are eligible but don't have the kind of identification that's going to be required? Are we going to close the poll house doors to them because they don't have the ability to pay the $22, $42, $37 that it costs to get a birth certificate? We actually had people in court who testified under oath that they would have had to be making the choices between feeding their family and paying the cost of an identification. I do not believe that that's what Americans want.
What if the state picked up the cost of doing that, if someone needed a birth certificate or duplicate birth certificate, if legislation was carried through the Texas legislature to that effect? Would that be helpful?
I mean, there's a variety of different kinds of accommodations that can be made. Some of them were even considered and put forward in front of the Texas legislature. Nobody is saying that all ID laws of any variety are bad. Texas, in fact, had a voter ID law. The big question is that, what are we getting for these kinds of restrictive laws that don't seem to do anybody any good? Under the old voter ID system, the amount of in-person impersonation fraud that was identified was like 4 cases between 2000 and 2012. So we had more people in the court who could not, in the courtroom, who could not vote in the past election because they didn't have ID than in the entire, decade that the old ID law had been operating.
Ms. Perez, I would assume that in the midterm elections, any effect from this wouldn't be as large because midterms, you tend to get the core high propensity voters anyway. I would guess where this would be much more of a factor would be a presidential election. Is that the case?
That's the case, but that's also why it's so important to give credit to the testimony of the people who couldn't vote in the 2013 elections. We actually found people who are usually supposed to be super voters, people who are very engaged, you know, people voting in off-year elections that tried to vote in the 2013 elections in Texas, went to the polls, but cast a ballot that wasn't going to count because they didn't have the kind of identification that was required. You know, we're not talking about what 90% of the public can do. We're talking about those eligible Americans who, like all of us, deserve the right to be able to participate, deserve to be able to have their voice, and what sort of barriers are we going to be putting in front of them? And I would submit that we need to be very, 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 very careful and very, very cautious before we start making eligible voters being unable to participate for laws that don't get us very much.
Well, although you can make an argument, wouldn't it be beneficial for as many Texans as possible to have identification just for their ease of moving in the world, for their freedom in many respects, so that if the state could actually make it a less onerous and easier process, free process, wouldn't there be benefit to that?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people working on this. There are a lot of people trying to get IDs in the hands of people who don't have them. I mean, the truth of the matter is that some people have underlying documents that have problems on them. We had evidence from one person who there was a mistake on their birth certificate. It was just a mistake, and okay. To get a delayed birth certificate and to get it changed was going to cost money. So we need to have common sense ways of accommodating these eligible Americans who have no interest in gaming the system or cheating anybody, but making okay. It possible for them to participate.
Myrna Perez with us, NYU's Brennan Center, Hans van Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. This is something that critics of voter ID laws say quite a bit, is there is no problem with voter fraud, and this is an answer in search of a problem, that it's really driven by Republicans trying to drive down minority voting. Your response to that?
That is just not true, and that wouldn't explain why, for example, a majority of Democrats in both the Senate and House in Kansas voted in favor of a voter ID law, or why Democrats who control the state of Rhode Island voted in favor of voter ID law there. And it does not depress turnout. I mean, I Myrna and I have had this debate on numerous occasions, but look, I'll just make this point. We have turnout data in Georgia, for example, whose law has been in place since 2008. So we've got three federal elections we can look at, plus other state and local elections, to look at turnout. And they keep turnout data by race in Georgia. And that the data, the certified election returns, show that it did not depress turnout of minority voters. It did not depress the turnout of Democratic voters. The same thing in Indiana, where we have also just as much data on that. And I might say, I actually went back and took a look at the witnesses that the NAACP produced in the Georgia case back 7 years ago, all of whom swore under oath that they wouldn't be able to vote, wouldn't be able to get the ID. And I checked their voting records with the Secretary of State of Georgia since that law was held perfectly okay. And guess what? They all managed to get IDs, and they've all been voted.
What about the question of whether there is a problem here that needs to be solved? Is voter fraud, voting fraud, a serious problem?
I wrote a book 2 years ago with John Fund that goes through case after case of voter fraud. Is voter ID the only answer to the different kinds of fraud that occur? No. I mean, there's a whole series of steps, but it's just one of the most basic steps that you should take, and the American people support it. I mean, the polling shows a majority of Americans, black, white, Hispanic, all think that this is a common sense reform that ought to be in place.
Tom in Reseda says he thinks the voter ID laws are terrible. Their real purpose is to restrict Democrats from voting, marginalizes people of color, students, and the elderly, harder for them to obtain required licenses. Greg in Glendale says, why is the law important? There is so little voter fraud. And Bruce in Manhattan Beach says the states that have voter ID laws are Republican, and this would seem seem to be aimed at driving down the turnout for Democratic voters. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let us know what you think about it. Let's see. Pippi writes on the page, if people are too poor to get copies of birth certificates to get an ID, how do they get assistance from the state? They have to have a Social Security number card, so how do they get that? Let's see. Bill writes on the page, if someone can't manage to procure an ID card, they probably shouldn't be voting. Again, share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. My thanks to Heritage's Hans von Spakovsky and Myrna Perez of the Brennan Center at NYU. It's Air Talk on KPCC. We remind you that today is the deadline to register to vote in November 4th's midterm and California state election. You can find a link to the voter registration form on our website at kpcc.org. Coming up, Apple says it's going to revolutionize the way we pay for stuff. Is that Apple hype? Or the truth? Are we going to see a fundamental change in how we pay for purchases? First, an update from Hedy Lynn Herdes.